Welcome to the Bureau Briefing, a podcast by the Bureau of Digital, an organization devoted to giving digital professionals the support system they never had. Each episode, we're going to talk to a member of our community doing awesome, inspiring things. Now for your host, Carl Smith.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Bureau Briefing. It is Carl, and with me today, I have got Andy Graham, who is the CMO and managing partner at Big C. How's it going?
Hi there. I'm awesome.
It has been a while since we chatted, and I was trying to remember, we first met, was it at Captiva? Was that owner camp in Captiva Island?
I was there, yes, but I think you and I met at Front End Design Conference probably prior to that.
You're right. I think we did. So yeah. What's going on, Andy? How's everything going at Big C?
Everything is great at Big C. We are growing and doing some really neat projects and working with some really neat clients and having a good time.
So how many people do you have over there now?
We have 21 right now. So, and we just actually just brought on somebody else. So it'll be 22 in a few weeks.
There you go. You know, the funny thing is when you walk out and realize somebody's been hired and you didn't know them, that's when it gets weird.
I am not ready for that.
It's bizarre. When somebody shows up in your project system and you're like, who is Franklin?
Yeah.
Is he a turtle? I think he's a turtle. So when we were chatting the other day and you mentioned the migration that you took Big C through, going from waterfall to agile, and I was like, I want to understand this process. So to kick it off, yeah, and feel free, if you've got to release some angst or whatever, like just let it go. But tell me about, first of all, the decision to make the shift.
Sure. So I started Big C in 2005, and I started it having had very little to no agency experience. And so there was no predetermined path to how I was going to run things. So being that I did most of the design and content and front end development myself, adding people into the mix became a nebulous at best process. So some things I would let go of and some things I wouldn't. And the process was really very much based around what I could or felt like doing on any given project, which obviously is not very scalable. So as we grew and grew, it started getting a little out of hand. It started getting to the point where, you know, it was really hard to understand our resourcing. We had no idea if we could take on a project or when we could finish it. Things would lag, clients would reappear, and we'd just try to jump on the work as best we could. And so it was clear for a number of years that we needed a better process, and our project managers needed a better eye into how we were managing our day-to-day work and how clients were getting things delivered to them as well. I should note that we don't do a lot of huge development projects. So Agile is not something that would be uniquely suited to what we do. Most of our projects are sort of marketing oriented websites. And we actually have about 70% of our business is also marketing retainer contracts. So we have much more of a traditional web design and development type of business, not app dev. It's not mobile dev. It's not stuff where you take technologists who are used to working in that environment. But I liked the process. I like the language around Agile. I like the philosophy of Agile. I like the freedom of sort of flexibility that comes with Agile. And so I wanted to figure out how to make it work and how we could get a closer grasp of what we were working on every day. So when I merged with another agency about a year and a half ago, and we realized that, you know, as we were fighting for whose process was going to take over, we kind of realized that it was a perfect time to introduce something totally unfamiliar to any of us.
There you go.
So that's what we did.
So what was it about Agile that made you think it would solve those problems you were having?
So being that we are a marketing and content first organization, we really focus on the story. And so we liked the idea of focusing on user stories. We liked the idea of focusing on problems, of focusing on where we are trying to get with solutions. And so when we talk from a marketing perspective, that's really easy, right? We're trying to grow awareness. We're trying to increase leads. We're trying to, you know, achieve these specific things. And then we back up our tactics from there. So using those as stories and as problems we were trying to solve made a lot of sense. But from the web design perspective, that's a very different sort of way of talking about websites. But it's something we'd always tried to encourage a client to do. You know, you've sat across the table from somebody who's come to you and said, oh, we want this functionality. It has to look like this or do this or scroll like this or flip like this. And we want a slider here with three slides and yada, yada. So when you're able to, when you take the agile process or when you look at sort of looking at things from an agile philosophy perspective, philosophical perspective, we can back that up and say, well, that's great that you want a slider there, but what's the actual problem that it's solving? What are we actually trying to do with that piece of functionality or piece of the website? And so it sort of changed the language around how we write contracts. It changed the language around everything we do. So that I just liked the idea of, you know, when we talk about billing and things like that, which I'm sure we'll get into, you know, we have to have three. There's, you can limit the time, you can limit the scope, or you can limit, you know, the budget, right? So there's these three boxes we can sort of fit things into. And when you're building something digital, that limit of scope never works. It just doesn't work, right? And so there is not a client in the universe who you build something and then they go, this is perfect, let's call it done. You know, no, they're saying, well, you know what, maybe let's move this above this or change this or move this over here. I'm not really crazy about white, let's make it gray or, you know, whatever those things are. And when you limit scope, you really limit those sort of changes and you punish people for having ideas at the wrong point of the process. So we wanted to change that.
So how did you prepare yourself before you told the team? Because I can only imagine that there are going to be a lot of questions and you want to not necessarily have all the answers, but at least have a good fundamental basis to stand on. So what did you do before you shared it with the team?
That's a good question. So I think that most of my team had heard me talking about it for a very long time and mentioning it. I come back from conferences all the time with, and they call it Hurricane Andy. I come in with a list of all kinds of, you know, changes and ideas and things that I want people to start implementing or learning about right away. So that stuff, it had been sort of in the hopper for a little bit, but I wasn't sure how to do it. I didn't know how to change how to change internally and how we could change our relationships with clients in a way that would make it effective. And so, you know, we had to get everybody on board, obviously, and teach them about it. And so I write an email to the team every Monday morning, and I usually write them on Sunday mornings, and I schedule it for 8 a.m. Monday morning. It's called Making Waves Monday. And it's a, you know, sometimes it features a TED talk and then all kinds of research about something, you know, motivational or inspirational or things like that. And so I used my Monday emails to introduce the idea of Agile and all the different parts and pieces of Agile and how different people approach it and what is a user story and how are they used in marketing and how are they used in content development. I introduced, you know, the Agile philosophy and its origins. And so it's just a, you know, 10-minute read that my staff, you know, that my team do every Monday morning. And so after about 6 weeks of that, I kind of formulated a plan of here's how we're going to approach it and here's the small changes we're going to make. And one of them was just setting up Trello boards that were in the structure of how we wanted to plan things. You know, and then we introduced sprint planning, and then we introduced sort of this, you know, the daily stand-ups, and we sort of introduced some of the rituals without any pressure to change internal process right away so that people could get used to the rituals that came with sprint planning and with Scrum and with Agile. So that worked.
So you left the core process in place and then just started adding some of the Agile, well, I guess, what would you call it? I guess the Agile techniques.
Yes, the methodology.
There you go.
On the current philosophy.
On the current process.
Yes.
And so was that fun for the team?
I think it was. We really only had one person who was a little bit grumbly about it. And, you know, our PMs really rose to the challenge and embraced it. We have one project manager who actually has been outstanding with embracing sort of the Scrum management of things. And so we've deemed her Scrum Master, and she runs two different teams here. So the division of teams was really easy in the way that that worked. And we're small enough that it didn't have to be a huge issue. It wasn't like we were breaking up the designers and saying, you know, you guys each go to your own team. Now you can never work together again. You know, there was 11 producers and so, or seven producers on sort of our design and dev team. So they're one, it's one team. So.
Okay. So you put the methodology in place, and then how do you start to change the process itself?
ha, 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 there's the fun part. We had to change our proposals, right? So it had to start from the sales funnel. So what we did was moved into sort of weekly sprints. Our design and dev team do weekly sprints. Our marketing team do bi-monthly sprints because we do marketing retainers based on months. So the marketing team, actually, the transition was fairly simple. We said, we already plan your stuff in this way. We plan quarters and then we plan months. But now we are going to actually get you on the phone once a week for a phone call for 10 minutes. We're going to review everything we've done. We're going to talk about what we're doing next week. And we're going to change our ideas. And halfway through the month, we have a full, you know, retro and review everything we've done and do. We make changes to what we've planned for them. So marketing actually was really easy, and everybody's gotten on board really quickly and easily. The web design and dev team, on the other hand, they meet weekly. They have sprint planning on Friday and then sprint planning on Monday mornings, retros on Friday afternoons. We kind of just moved all the work into those planning sessions and into the sprint, and then we started writing new proposals that time boxed everything. So we said, here's how we're going to approach your things. Here's the overall goals that we want to achieve. They're sort of a really general user stories, which is our proposal. It's like one simple page. And then here is sort of your weekly timeline. Here we're going to have, before your kickoff meeting, we're going to have your, you know, a really basic sort of, you know, content strategy. Maybe we'll have a wireframe done. We'll have a lot of, we actually come to the kickoff meeting with more than we ever did before. We introduced a lot of pre-work that we push onto the client. We require all of the content be finalized before, which that stuff gets kind of pushed through my marketing team because our content team is a part of the marketing team. And then once the content is finalized for the website, then we push them into the sprints in design and dev. So then they get, you know, basically 4 or 6 or 8 weeks, whatever they're paying for, of us building their website. So by end of week one, we've got the homepage fully developed and responsive and QA'd, content loaded in. End of week two, we've got maybe 2 or 3 internal page templates, content loaded in. End of week 3 or 4, we've got all the page sort of content loaded in as best we can. You know, whatever this looks like, I'm thinking of like a fairly simple, low budget, you know, WordPress website.
Right.
And then we QA for another week or so and make changes and updates and things like that. But you're limited into, here's your 6 weeks that you paid for. If we want to extend that, we can, but let's talk about it and how necessary it is. The biggest piece of this is including the client. So the client's a part of the conversation and why things did or did not happen or could not happen. Knowing that we are working these hours for you, we're here, we're doing our best, we couldn't get this done. How do you want us to handle it? You want us to leave it off the table, or do you want us to move on to the next things that we are planning for next week? So,
gotcha. So what was the biggest hiccup with the team? Because figuring that they're used to a handoff mentality,
mm-hmm.
and now they're in a more of a free flow working together. So what was the thing that stuck them up a little bit?
It's still sticking them up. I think we're still stuck in the mentalities that surrounded Waterfall, which is A, the clients don't get us what we need when we need it. And so we don't understand that how to sort of pull them out of our plan for the next week and move them forward. So whether that's an approval or that's, you know, somebody didn't see it that was supposed to see it, or the content piece has been really tough. People don't understand how much work is involved in content that, you know, when we're writing about genetic testing, for instance, we can't make it up. So we need your input. Yeah. So that stuff, that's been a hiccup. And then the other thing is clients are so used to that sort of waterfall, this, then this, then this, then this process, that it's very hard to coach them out of that and to get them engaged. So
that was the other part I was thinking. I was thinking, okay, so the team's got to change, but then the clients, especially your legacy clients, and in the state of the industry report that we just sent out, 75% of revenue is coming from existing clients for most bureau shops. So you've got and you said you've got a lot of retainers as well. So how did you prepare the clients? The existing clients.
Yeah. So we basically, my content director used lots of bits and pieces of the Making Waves emails I had sent to the team, where I was pumping them up to get excited about Agile. And she crafted this really beautiful persuasive email that went out to all of our clients and said, here's what we're doing. Here's how we're doing it. Here's why we're doing it. Here's how it's going to benefit you. And it's been met with, you know, most clients were very excited and ready to get on board. A couple of them are like, oh, weekly phone call. I don't know if I can do that, you know. But, you know, you and I know you, Carl, had you've always done those weekly emails, right, with the mm-hmm. progress report and things. We've taken those off the table. Instead of the PM spending 20 minutes pulling numbers and writing this report, they just jump on a phone call, and in 10 minutes they talk about what they've done. They show their work, and we all are on the same page again. So it also helps strengthen client relationships, in my opinion, and especially when we have to deliver bad news, when they're able to say, hey, you know, we didn't get this done. We thought we were going to. I'm sorry, this was a little bit more difficult or technically challenging, or the design was a little bit, you know, different than we expected. So, yeah.
So how has your billing changed from waterfall to agile in terms of the way that you both estimate and the way that you invoice?
Unfortunately, it hasn't changed in the way that we would like it to. we moved off hourly altogether, and we still do very much value-based pricing. So, but we bill in mostly in milestones. So, you know, upfront week 2, week 4, and week 6. And we bill at the milestone whether or not we've hit the milestone is time-based or deliverable based. And so it's when we deliver designs or at week 2, or when we deliver based, and it's all based on that schedule that we set out. So it kind of encourages clients to get, you know, a little butt kicking that they need to get us the stuff we're waiting on or keep the process moving forward, because they're going to be billed regardless. So there's many instances where they've billed 100, where we've billed 100% of a project, but we're only maybe 50% finished with it because the clients disappeared or didn't get us what we needed or whatever is going on. So
now that's really interesting. I like that idea. I'm curious, how often do you get the deliverable, right? Here we go. It's about delivering, not deliverables.
Yeah.
how often do you reach that milestone before the time-based milestone?
Never.
Never. Okay. That's what I was going to ask, because
yeah.
So really you're still kind of billing in a time increment.
Yes.
But if you happen to get done faster, you've got this little nice safeguard where you can get paid early or on time.
On time. Exactly. Yep. Yep. And it hasn't been an issue, and our project managers do our invoicing, and they have the freedom to, you know, hey, they're waiting on this stuff, or, you know, our team couldn't do this, or whatever these issues are, or somebody got sick or went on vacation or whatever it is. So it pushed off this by 2 weeks. They're, you know, they can delay the invoice going out for a week or 2 weeks or whatever it is. So, you know, they can use their judgment on those things.
How do you handle clients who say they like it better the old way?
We haven't had that happen yet.
Really?
Thankfully. Yeah.
That's great.
Our clients, there's so much more forward progress when you tell them at the end of week 1, you're going to have a finished, completed, ready to go this. And we've had so many clients. So the process that we use for a web dev perspective is we launch the site the minute it's better than the old one, whether it's complete or not. And for many websites, that means we still have 6 or 8 or 10 weeks of work to do and content to finish and all these other things. But clients love that. So we're launching a site right now. The client currently has 200 and some pages on their site, and we're launching with 12 at the end of next week.
I love that.
Yeah. And they're great. They're, you know, most clients are really excited. Let's hide this embarrassing stepchild that we've been trying to shove into the closet for the past year and a half. So,
and so two things, and you know this because you did it. I'm just listening to it. But first of all, is it better than what we have now? Yes. Okay. That shows progress. And as soon as you go live, the pressure on the client to deliver, right?
Yes.
They've now got a public-facing communication that is not complete. And so they had better get off their ass, right?
Yeah.
It's like time to go.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. And the other thing is we can then test, right? So our whole thing is from a marketing perspective, we want to watch analytics and lead conversions and things like that. And we can actually alter later sprints and say, listen, we were talking about developing this entire section of your site, but we really want to focus on changing the stuff we did, which happens. You know, we don't know. Every brand new website is everyone's best guess, right?
Right.
Of course, it's based on all of our expertise and yada, yada. But we won't know until we have data whether or not we need to change those things. So it gives us the freedom to sort of redefine goals or redefine sort of what the structure of the work looks like.
So agile is one of those terms that has a lot of different meanings to different people. Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Even people who've read the manifesto still have different concepts. So have you had a client come in who expected a different flavor of agile?
No, not at all. Thankfully, we do. The client we're working on right now that I keep talking about with genetic testing, and the one who's letting us, that is the same client who is letting us launch with 12 pages on their website next week. He came from an agency world, a tech agency world, where they worked in an agile process. So he's been really knowledgeable about sort of the methodologies of agile, and they were, I think, they ran lean. But he also knows that because we're a marketing agency, and because we have content and design and things that don't fit usually neatly into the most of the agile methodologies, he's really been interested in sort of how we approach those things. But he's been 100% on board with, like, however we want to do it, as long as we're getting the work done and it looks good. So
that's very fortunate to have a client. And yeah. That's a new client.
We've been with them for about 6 months now, 5 months.
Six months. So did they go through a transition, or were you already full agile?
We were full agile when we started working with them. So we also sell projects a lot of times now. We do the growth-driven design. So we'll sell a website project and break it up into 12 monthly payments. And then we get as much done as we can every month based on sort of what the budget looks like. So
have you had any clients come back and say, you said you were going to do it and you didn't do it? Why should I pay?
No, because they're always on a weekly phone call and know exactly why something is or is not getting done.
We are shattering the myths, Andy. We're shattering them left and right. Stop your reasons why you can't do it. So if there's somebody out there listening right now and they are majority waterfall, right? Because we all have different things that we tweak and do.
Yep.
What advice would you give them if they're ready to make the move to Agile?
Yeah. So for us, it was really about reading as much as we could. I mean, we absorbed every bit of information available to us. We read everybody's blog posts about how they transformed and what they looked at and who they used. We looked at bringing in experts to help us with the transition, and we decided we needed it to be our own flavor. It needed to work within the way that we run our business in other ways as well. So that was my biggest thing, is that we can do this without it having to fit into some prescribed box. And that literally is the philosophy of Agile, is that it's flexible and it's about the people involved and not about the process. And so we approached the Agile implementation using an Agile approach. So, yeah. So keep it flexible and make it fit for what you need it to be and use it for its benefits. If something's not working, then abandon it.
Andy, that's great advice. And I want to thank you for being with us today on the Bureau Briefing, and congratulations on your transition and also on the merger. It sounds like that went well.
It's been great. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, and I hope we get to see you again soon. It's been a little while. So you're just, you know, a few hours south of me. I could just get in my car and come down.
But it is a long few hours across a very boring stretch of Florida.
It really is. Well, everybody, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.